And welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, a lot of fine ladies, and we are going to start with Jennifer Lynn Robinson, Esquire. She is the CEO of Purposeful Networking. Also, she is the president of Fem City Philadelphia. Emmy Kirshner is a speaker, coach, and author. She's also CEO of Empress Enterprises. And Tam Williams, who is the founder and president of She'sIt.com, social health empowerment through IT. And ladies, let's get started with a real quick overview, and then I want to get into what is Fem City Philadelphia, and we're going to talk about women in business. So Jennifer, would you like to get started here?
My business is Purposeful Networking. What I do is basically teach people how to network better, and I do keynotes and workshops for law firms, companies, nonprofits, conferences, universities, basically anybody that wants to have me, and teach people how to craft their elevator pitch, how to network at events, how to follow up, how to network within their company. I do a lot around women's leadership and networking, and just try to make people be more comfortable and more strategic in their networking efforts.
And you were a woman on the move in 2017 in Mainline Today, and you're a contributing author to the Happy Law Practice as well.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to blow your horn, so if you don't mention something there. So Emmy, tell us about your business, Empress Enterprises.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for having us. I'm really excited to be here. I am a coach, speaker, and author, and I help creative entrepreneurs become more profitable by designing their life first and then building their business.
And you're dedicated towards helping 1 million entrepreneurs in 5 years.
I am, and I'm really excited because I have a couple of things that are shifting and going to be launching that will allow me to do that a lot faster.
That's excellent. So we'll get into that too.
Yeah.
And then Tam, you have just launched a new enterprise yourself. Tell us about yourself and She's It.
Okay, wonderful. And thank you so much for having us here. I am the founder and president of She's It, which stands for Social Health Empowerment Through IT. We are all about the democratization of 360 well-being. That is everything from aging, family, inspiration, happiness, paying it forward, human rights. There's 15 topics.
Jennifer, we met through Fem City Philadelphia. Tell us a little bit about that so we understand the background here.
Sure. So Fem City Philadelphia is the local chapter of the Greater Philadelphia region of Fem City, which is a national women's organization. And here in Philadelphia, we have the biggest chapter in the country with about 2,000 members of our community. It's a mix of entrepreneur women, corporate women, and women who either work for or have even launched their own nonprofit. And the tagline for our company is business for the soul. We really focus on the relationship building between women, but also a lot of business gets done within this group and with these women. I've been involved for almost 7 years. I started when I first left litigation and became an entrepreneur with no plans to run a business and no idea how to do it. So that was a rough time for me. Mm-hmm. And Fem City for me came at the exact right time of my life to meet people that I could learn from and grow with. And it's been amazing to watch the progress of not only myself, but all the women that are in this organization. We meet monthly all around the Philadelphia region and the suburbs and the city. And as we're going to discuss today, we have our big business conference coming up. This is our second annual. I started it last year as my first year as president, and we're very excited.
And that's coming up on November the 8th. That will be at the Pyramid Club here in Philadelphia. Let's start off, what is it like to be a woman entrepreneur today? Are things better? Are they easier? Are they harder? What's it like to be a female entrepreneur, and why should a woman consider it?
Because I've been a single mom for 12 years, and part of why I became an entrepreneur was that I didn't want to work 9 to 5, and I had made a commitment to my kids that I was going to be home for their games and be able to volunteer and do all the things that I did as a stay-at-home mom, and it's allowed me to build my business and my life the way I wanted to and work the hours that I could work and still have those experiences and have quality committed time with my kids. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for women to do different things. And I think now, particularly, there's a lot of women starting businesses, so the support and the relationships are there.
Tam, what about you? Because you have a new startup you just launched. So why did you make the decision to go into business for yourself?
So I made the decision to go into business because I was actually let go from my job. I had a corporate executive position. And once, you know, I was let go, I had to make a decision. Did I want to go back into corporate America and, you know, have the same thing happen, but just a different company? Or did I want to really expand upon what had been put on paper for 5 years prior to us launching our app? So She's It has been around for quite some time. It's just that it was not a full-time gig for me. It was the side hustle. And so I can truly say that for me, and Emmy, I know that every woman has a different experience. But
absolutely.
But for me, I find that a woman being in business today, especially if you want to really scale that business and you're looking for funding for the business, the funding for women, access to money, is still not there. And so that's the difficult piece. The other piece is, though, having the ability to be in control over your time, be in control of what you do. Now, there are some pluses and minuses to that as well. But I think that, you know, more and more women are going into business for themselves. And obviously, they're finding that it's the right thing to do.
What are the legal ramifications for going into business for themselves?
So to be honest, my specialty was in litigation. What I would recommend to women or even men going into business for themselves is, even somebody like me who has a legal background, it's so important to get the right help. So that's probably the biggest expense that I had when I started my business, is hiring a law firm to incorporate properly, to make sure I had my articles of incorporation, to make sure I had checked the title of my business and whether anybody was using it in the state and the country, to make sure everything was in place. It's definitely the biggest expense, but it was the most important expense. And a lot of people at that time were questioning why I would hire such expensive counsel when I myself was a lawyer. But I think you have to recognize what you know and what you don't know. And I knew that I didn't know. You have a lot of women out there that start side hustles or even, you know, full-time businesses who don't do the right legal steps. And, you know, I've heard some horror stories, even among companies that are very successful today. I just went to a conference recently where one of the founders of Bauble Bar, which is a very successful company, was talking about what happened to them at the beginning because they didn't put all the right legal things in place. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you'll read those stories again and again, and I think it's imperative that you do that up front.
One of the things, Jen, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because for me, when I first started She's It, it was a sole proprietorship. Within a year, I incorporated it. So I went to an LLC. But from there, in the last year, we became a partnership.
Right.
And so each one of those steps has different, you know, ramifications that
Absolutely.
Happens. And so, yes, we had to get the counsel, and it does cost money to get the counsel, but either you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later.
I share 100%. With my clients that it is an investment. It's one of the best investments that you'll ever make. And a lot of the people that I work with are still sole proprietors. And just from a risk standpoint, they want to have that separation between business and personal assets. And that's what incorporating does for you. So it's, I literally like make all my clients either become an LLC or incorporated mm-hmm. or whatever they need to do to protect themselves. And then I have some people that I recommend and they can find the right counsel for them.
Yeah, I think there's certain things as a woman or just as a new business owner you can skimp on when mm-hmm. you start. There's a lot of things if you want to take the time that you can do yourself.
Right.
But that is not one of them.
Definitely not. Yeah, no.
You mentioned, you said side hustle. Is that how most women fall into entrepreneurship? Do we lack the determination starting off that some guys do?
I don't think we fall into it so much as we may have opportunities that give us a great choice. You know, I've found myself divorced. I had two kids. I didn't want them in daycare just because it wasn't the right thing for me. My ex-husband had moved to New Jersey. I needed to figure it out, and I needed to figure it out quickly. So it's different, but similar to somebody and similar to Tam, where, you know, she no longer had the job she'd been in and she needed to do something else, and she made it work. And I mean, you have amazing stories as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had a near-death accident when I was practicing law, and I had no plans to open a business, but I ended up doing it. I felt out of necessity for where my life was at the time, knowing that I couldn't do full-time work at a regular job where I had to go in 9 to 5 or some other hours. That just wasn't an option for me as I was recovering and having surgeries. And I also had a traumatic brain injury. So that was definitely a limitation for a long time. But I think, you know, in answer to your question, I think women more than men will hesitate with the business idea. It'll be either a side hustle or just something that they have planned. And the life circle circumstances will make the decisions for them. So whether it's being laid off from a corporate job or just getting fed up, you know, with the boss or whatever it is, or, you know, getting divorced or widowed or having a child or just a change of life circumstances, I feel like life presents you with a choice. And that's a lot of times where the rubber meets the road and women will decide, okay, well, if not now, when?
Now, there was a release from a Magnify Money study, and it spoke that the difference between business income and earned income, if a woman was on a 9-to-5 job, if she is, you know, a wage earner, that she is making a lot less at the beginning as an entrepreneur or as a business owner. The business income in some areas, and Philadelphia fared very poorly in this 50 market study. We were number 48, but the women's income was very, very low. In the long run, however, the opportunity for growth was so much higher on that entrepreneur side than it was as a wage earner. That risk is something that most women, I think, are afraid to take, and especially in a situation where if you have a family depending on you. Jump in there. There was a question in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think the most important thing that you've touched on is the issue of benefits. So I know for me, you know, I'm married. I'm lucky to have a spouse that has a corporate job and I have my benefits under him. But I think the more women you talk to, the more that's their biggest concern. If they're not with a partner or a spouse, if they're a single mom or they're single, you know, and they have to support themselves, where are those benefits going to come from? And that's really probably the primary thing I hear that holds people back because the cost of that is still exorbitant, especially if you have kids and you're not under a group plan.
Somebody mentioned that getting startup money or getting that funding is right. is difficult.
Getting the funding definitely is difficult. But what I have found with the women that I've spoken to, and many have been minority women, they feel like, and I felt like too in a business that I had years ago, I did that business, a consulting firm, because I had no choice. I was going through a divorce, but it was a very rough divorce in that I had to leave the East Coast and go to the West Coast while the divorce was going through the court system. While I was there, I didn't know anyone, but I had three small children. So in order to have the flexibility, like you said, Emmy, but to have the flexibility and to be able to be there with my children in a place that we knew no one, I had no choice but to strike out on my own, opening the phone book, which is what existed at that time, and getting on the dial-up phone and making those phone calls until I could find work in speaking and going in and training. And so that's what led me to where I am today. But, you know, when you don't have a choice, or when you say, okay, so I could get the benefits, right, if I go into the 9-to-5, but now I can't afford anything else. I can't afford childcare. I can't afford to pay my rent. I can't afford to buy gas. I can't even hardly afford to buy food. So, you know, you look at it from a lot of different perspectives and say, what's really going to work best for me and what's the best risk that I can take right now that is going to give me the best upside later.
You mentioned picking up the phone book. That's a really lousy network. That's a stinky network. And do women lack networks? I mean, I think we've all been in a work position where you see somebody and you think, well, how did he get that job? And you find out, well, yeah, they went to college together or this or that. Do we lack that?
We do. I mean, I talk a lot around this issue. And I think the biggest thing that I see is that men are not afraid to ask virtual strangers for help or assistance or an introduction. Women feel that they have to have a network of people that they know well that share their values before they will ask for a favor or help. And men are not constrained by that. Unfortunately, in the corporate world, you still also have men that are primarily at the upper echelon of the position. So they are the ones that network with each other and hear about positions. And by the time they get down to the women who are not at the top, those positions may not even be available anymore. Because as we know, 80 to 85% of jobs aren't even published. So it really is a lot about who you know.
Absolutely. And I would say also, I mean, women have to or tend to think they need to know more. They need to know all of the facts. And I think it was in Lean In, Sheryl Sandberg said that, you know, women have to know, like, have to have everything checked off to apply for a job. And men, it's only like 30%. And we're still doing that. We're not owning who we are, the value that we bring to the table, the intelligence, the independence, and the ideas.
We're rule follow-y, aren't we? We look at a list and say, okay, but I don't have this one right. check mark. But I remember that as well. And a man would look at the same list and say, yeah, I got 30%, I got 20%, I'll make it through the rest.
Good enough.
And it works for them. But how do we build that kind of confidence for ourselves?
The problem that I personally have experienced is that I have been the rebel. And when you're the rebel, you're singled out. And I thought about what Serena Williams just went through and how she stood up for herself. Mm-hmm. That's why I had to take the business, and I say had to, take the business to where it is today with bringing a technology product to market with no technical programming or coding background, but bringing to market the first integrated health, fitness, and 360-degree well-being product to market for women by women, because I like being the rebel. And I like standing up. And I like saying what I have to say. But it's just that there are a lot of people, especially men, that don't like that.
And I think there are a lot of women who just aren't like you, you know, that really just aren't into self-promotion. They aren't cheerleaders for themselves. You know, they don't brag when they need to. So I think that that's a limitation in women's confidence and just the way they put themselves out in the mm-hmm. world, not all women. And, you know, we're lucky to have a community, I think the three of us, of women that are more along the side of rebels than not. But, you know, in society in general, it's still a major problem for women.
Absolutely. And I think for all of us, Femme City plays a part of that because it's such an open, amazing group of women.
Yes.
And it really is built on a solid foundation of relationships.
Yes.
And given the fact that Jen leads this, I mean, Jennifer is the guru of networking. And I learned something about myself recently when I went to one of her sessions about networking and relationships. And, you know, what I said, which was different than, 98% of the other women in the room about relationships versus going for the business.
Right.
Showed me something. I mean, it was such an eye-opener and an aha moment for me, whereas I didn't necessarily think that I was that way. But in listening to everyone else, and then when it came my turn and I said something that was completely different and kind of felt, oh my God, I'm almost like a man. I think like a man, but I'm a woman.
Right. I'm Laura Lewis. This is Philadelphia Focus. And with us today, we have Jennifer Lynn Robinson, Esquire. She is CEO of Purposeful Networking. Find them at purposefulnetworking.com. And of course, she is also the president of our local affiliation of Femme City, Femme City Philadelphia. Find them at, again, femcityphiladelphia.com. Emmy Kirshner is a speaker, coach, and author. She's also CEO of Empress Enterprises. You can find her at emmykirshner.com, and that's EmmikirshNer, emmykirshner.com. And Tam Williams, the president and founder of She's It, find her at she's-it.com, she's-it, get it, .com. And of course, you'll find her new app there as well. So let's turn this around again in the Femme City about us, what they talk about. And it's looking that you want to create business and a life that you envision all within balance, prosperity, and happiness.
Yes.
Now, does that sound like what a guy says when they are saying, this is what I'm going to set out for? Balance, prosperity, and happiness? It sounds like they say, give me the money and I'll find fun.
I don't think men are really concerned with all of that. I think it is about the money for the most part. They're not as concerned with balance and well-being. But of course, that's also because even though you have so many households with two incomes at this time, you still have a lot of the household responsibility, whether they're children or not, that fall on women. So even if you have a man and woman working full time, even if they're both entrepreneurs, it's just not something that a man concerns himself with because he knows most of the time a woman will pick up the slack.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. I can't add anything. Thank you, Jennifer.
I really can't either. I think guys are thinking more about, like, their job is their identity, and it's just who it is. They're not thinking at that next level of, am I fulfilled?
But now, are those the fuzzy, fluffy terms that kind of might hold us back when we talk about our family and when we talk about wanting that balance and happiness? Does that sound like we're somebody who wants to get to the top of our industry and our business?
I think it can be both. I mean, I think, you know, you see a lot of people, men or women, over time that, you know, they get to the top echelon of what they want to do in life, but they're unhappy and, you know, their health is bad and they're unfulfilled. So, you know, I think for most people, you can only continue so long at that pace before you're burned out and you're in therapy. Not that there's anything wrong with therapy. You know, you're unhappy, your health problems. You really need to look at the whole picture. And if you don't, you know, life will look at it for you at some point.
I think it's starting to change. I think happiness, or at least fulfillment, is becoming more top of mind for more people, whether you're an entrepreneur or in corporate.
What about, then let's go back to the networking aspect of all of this, because one of the things that one survey suggested was that one of the reasons that women's businesses are not making the same profits that men's are is that they are at a disadvantage at the very beginning, not just lacking the funding, but lacking the mentorship and the networking that we don't have, that we just haven't built up.
It's true. I mean, actually, those kind of statistics that you're talking about basically say that women start out with networks that aren't strong and they never catch up in their whole career, which is a very unfortunate thing to read about. So I think, you know, one of the things talking about networking, you know, we talked about the idea that men aren't afraid to ask and, you know, men don't have to know people really well or share their values. But I think one of the other things, and I think this was discussed in the seminar Tam was talking about, is this idea of separate social spheres with networking that I think makes men's network stronger than women. So men will tend to do the same things with their business networking partners as they will in their social life. So mm-hmm. For example, they'll go play golf and they could as easily network with that person as play golf and both. Women tend to have separate social spheres, meaning they have a whole set of relationships with people that they are close with and share their values. That could be friends in the neighborhood, moms, you know, friends from college, just people they've grown to know and appreciate. But those are not usually the people that they're doing business relationships and business deals with. That's a whole separate sphere of people. So why is that important? It makes it doubly hard for women because they need double the time to see their friends and their business people. And men have part and parcel of that together.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
So the cure for that, though, is, I'm going to guess, organizations and mentorship programs for women. And you want to talk a little bit about what YES does and what the conference will do for someone who's attending it.
Yes, this is our second annual business conference. Our hope is that people will go and, you know, deepen relationships that they have with people in the group, you know, reconnect with people. But also, as of last year, we had so many new people, new faces that came. We had people that weren't part of our organization. We had Women in Transition from Career Wardrobe, which we will have again this year. So my hope is that people will meet at least a few new people. And we have our keynote speaker, Kristen Detterline, who's the editor-in-chief of Philadelphia Style magazine. So she will be talking about her path of entrepreneurship and, you know, everything that's led her to where she's been able to go. And also, you know, how we get noticed in the media, which is a big issue for a lot of entrepreneurs that will be attending. And then we have two great panels that morning. One is going to be on monetizing and marketing your business, and the other one on growing and scaling your business. And Tam and Emmy, who are sitting here today, are our moderators of those panels. So I'm excited to see what they come up with to help women leave with practical takeaways and tips. And going back to something we discussed earlier, we're also going to have a business lawyer from our networking organization, Sarah Holmes, who's going to talk about the pitfalls and challenges of building a business around legal issues. So it should be a day of networking, of great information, of fun, bringing people together. And we are really looking forward to it.
I want to add, too, I think the biggest benefit of attending an event like this is that it's not only the relationship building and the educational content, but it's being outside of yourself. Like, I think we all at some point or another, you know, we're doing the thing that we do and you're not looking outside yourself or how you could do it differently. And there's a certain, I think, inspiration and motivation that comes with all of these women who are doing amazing things that can help you see an area or an opportunity that, you know, you can step into and really grow your business. I mean, I usually have, you know, at least 10 different things and I'm like, oh my God, look at, I can do it this way. There's another way for me to do it. It makes it so much easier or more fun, or somebody I can bring into the fold with me. And I think that's, in addition to everything else, one of the really the big things why people should want to come to this event in particular.
Always, always willing to learn. When you go to these conferences, because you're dealing with a lot of different women, different backgrounds, they're bringing different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Every experience is different. And so somewhere along the line, you're going to be able to connect And something that you're going to hear will resonate. It's not like going to something and you walk away and you say, oh my God, I just wasted all this time going to this. And frankly, I didn't learn a thing. That will not happen at this conference. I can guarantee you that.
Same.
It's lonely at the top. It's something that came to my mind when you started, Emmy, just now. You're the captain of the ship, but there's very little crew when you strike out and start a business.
Yeah. So. Look, I have my own coaches that I work with, and we had a conversation a couple of months ago about how entrepreneurship can be a really lonely, isolating journey because a lot of entrepreneurs have big visions and they're at the beginning wave of turning the tide of something. And to stay in the forefront of, moving forward every day is hard. And I think that's why the networking is so important, because having a connection of even just a few people that are in the same place, even if they're not doing the same job, they're not creating the same business, but everybody's going through the same problems at one point or another, or has, something that if they can rely on other people to help solve, everything comes together, your business moves forward, you're not feeling as isolated.
What about bringing men to the table? Because we cannot just create business between ourselves. How do we infiltrate those old school ties and the boys' networks?
So, to me, men have to be a part of the discussion and they have to be at the table. It's great to network with other women. Obviously, I'm a big advocate of it, or I wouldn't be running this organization. But I think that women can get into comfort zones where it's much easier and safer to continue to network with other women. And it's imperative to get out there and join at least, I would say one industry-related group and at least one group that's co-ed, where you're going to have to form relationships with men. Because again, we still have a society where men are much better networked, much more aware of opportunities, whether it's board opportunities or higher echelon, career opportunities. And it doesn't get better without bringing everyone to the table.
I definitely agree with that. I love to network with both men and women. And I find that when I network with men, I know that I'm different. It's not that I'm so different when I'm networking with women, but I know that there's more of the relationship aspect there. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not necessarily looking for the relationship, I'm looking for, okay, here is what I do. Let me hear about what you do. Let's see if we can come up with a meeting of the minds. And after all of that, then, I'm willing to talk about the relationship. With men, I can go right into what it is that I am looking for, because frankly, that's what they want to know. And I have a team where I'm quite different from the rest of the women that are on my team, because they're very relationship driven, whereas I'm not necessarily in that realm. Mm-hmm. And when we are having meetings or we're talking and they're trying to tell me about, something that they or some place that they went, and they're telling me about how they're building the relationship and all of this. And I'm saying, okay, but that's fine. Let's cut to the chase. Tell me, what it is that we can do to get our foot in the door. Relationship or not, can we get in or can we not get in? And let's decide whether or not we're going to move on. And that's where I know that I'm slightly different from that aspect, which is why I enjoy being a part of Fem City. And I enjoy listening to Jennifer, because she helps to kind of bring me full circle and give me something else to think about besides going in for the kill, which is really what I like to do.
Let us really quickly talk about what's coming up for your businesses. And obviously, Tam, you've got the newest business of all. Nutshell, what is coming?
So we just launched SheApp. It's our social health empowerment app. It is the sister to She's It. And the app is on iOS, so you can get it from Apple as well as from Android. And it is the equivalent of up to 10 standalone apps all integrated into one. So they talk together, draw information from one another, and keep women engaged about 360-degree well-being.
And Em?
So I am about to launch a new membership community at the end of October called The Tribe of Leaders. And I also have a new podcast that'll be coming out in January that's also under The Tribe of Leaders. And my mission in impacting a million entrepreneurs is to really help create the community, the relationship, but also give entrepreneurs the business skills and the leadership skills to succeed. One of the things that really frustrated me when I was starting my business was that the information and some of the things that I needed to do to start the business wasn't there, even though I was looking for it and, you know, seeking it out and asking for mentors. So I want to provide that community so people can grow and women can be more profitable.
And Jen?
So for my own business, Purposeful Networking, you can go to purposefulnetworking.com under events and see all the speaking and training I have coming up. I'm also launching this fall a mastermind for women and also a mastermind for attorneys to help people more one-on-one or in group one-on-one sessions with their networking efforts and their marketing efforts. As far as Fem City, you know, you can go to femcityphiladelphia.com to see all our upcoming events.
And of course, Fem City Philadelphia's second annual business conference is November 8th at the Pyramid Club. Jennifer is the president of the local chapter, the local affiliation, Fem City Philadelphia. And you can find her at her business, purposefulnetworking.com. That's Jennifer Lynn Robinson, Esquire, CEO of Purposeful Networking. Also, we had today Emmy Kirshner, who is a speaker, coach, and author. She is CEO of Empress Enterprises, and you can find her at emmykirshner.com. And Tam Williams, the founder and president of She's It, and you can find her at she's-it.com. New app there as well. Ladies, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
It was fun.
Great conversation, really fascinating, and thank you again. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.